Welcome back to Triple Take. I am here with you guys. We are excited to be here. We got a jam-packed, great episode coming out this this evening. Matt and I are going to be joined by our NBA resident expert, Kyle, his roommate, later on in the episode. But first, how you doing over there, Matt?
Doing pretty good. Ryan, I'm actually doing real good. And you want to know why? Don't need a response from you because that's how excited I am. I'm holding in my hand, and I'm aware that this is great audio content, holding in my hand a letter received today that is something a boy can only dream to receive. I have a letter that my house that I'm now living in with the aforementioned Kyle as roommate, that we are now a Nielsen ratings household. For, as I mentioned to Ryan earlier, he did not know what that meant, so as a recap for those that might not know, that's the company that does the ratings for shows and monitors your cable box and sees what you're watching and gives the ratings for all the shows, all the overnight ratings, all that. I get to be a taste setter, a mood maker for shows, and I've really felt it's been my calling for a while, and I'm glad they finally recognized that with their entirely random draw assessment that they've given us.
What's your hot TV shows now then? If you are the trendsetter of the U.S., what are you going to trend set for us?
Well, you're gonna see Billions be a must watch. You're gonna get
does that get counted? Is that considered cable? Like, is that
no? That's
premium,
premium,
right? So is that
that's premium? Westworld's gonna be premium. So I guess on your cable, you're going to see an unnatural surge in CW superhero shows.
Okay.
You're going to see bumping Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, maybe Supergirl. You're going to see a lot of weird bumps there. Probably don't worry about that. They aren't actually good. I'm just so invested in so many seasons in. You just can't stop. I just can't quit you.
Now, are you one of those Americans who's one of the many Americans who makes The Big Bang Theory the most popular comedy TV show on TV? Is that you?
I am not. That is not something I can stand by.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then I hope you. That's good to hear. I hope you are part of the numbers that bring that stat down, because I don't know how that's a thing.
Yeah, I'm more of a sadly more of a Brooklyn Nine-Nine guy as my wheelhouse doing sitcoms.
Yeah, but they're gone now, man.
You know, they're not gone. They got axed. They're a dying breed, not yet dead. They have the rest of the season to finish out. I'm pretty bummed about that, to be honest. I mean, it's nearing its twilight anyway. I feel like they've already done the spoilers ahead, whatever. They've already done like the Office thing where the protagonist character's relationship, the will they won't they relationship already happened.
Right.
Season or two ago, and that's kind of usually a pretty big driving force in most of the sitcom formula. So it should have been nearing its end anyway. I just kind of wish they had done it on more of their own terms than this.
Yeah, it always sucks when the network just comes in and says, nah, you're done.
Yeah, especially like Fox. Like, what are you doing? What do you got coming down the pipe for me, Fox? You're trash. At NBC, I'd be like, oh, you got The Good Place coming. You got Superstore. You got a lot of options for me. NBC does the comedy, right? Fox, I'm like, it's... You can show like an hour of Simpsons now? Like, what are you doing? So, not happy with that. Flip side, though, of the news coming out today, today being Thursday, for those watching a later date, and not thinking I'm just horribly behind in my news. Rick and Morty getting approved for 70 more episodes after currently airing somewhere like 28, 30. They made a couple 12 episodes. You know, they've been three seasons. They're approved for a drastic increase on Comedy Central, who also, like, I don't know what else you got going, so why not? But pretty excited about that. A little nervous that, like, how are you going to make 70 real good apps? Because they've all been mostly real good so far, but pretty jazzed about that. I'm a Rick and Morty has that nice, fun place of comedy, philosophical thought, and darkness that's also puts BoJack Horseman up there for me. And other Brockmire and similar shows of that ilk, a little bit of darkness tinge to you.
You need that dark comedy?
Well, it does it for me.
They've gotten complete buy-in there. Have they said like when is that planned to start, I guess, creating
nope.
and recording?
They didn't, because the next season of Rick and Morty was like, it's supposed to, from when the last one ended last year, it's supposed to be like over a year, almost 2 years out was their projection. Like they said Dan Harmon, creator, and John Roland, a voice actor, another co-creator. So they hadn't even like thought about, they didn't have ideas even kicking around. They hadn't started writing yet. Like, there weren't even like ideas that weren't fleshed out. They're just like, oh, we got nothing after like 6 months of it being out there. So I mean, I don't know.
Sometimes you need a break.
Yeah. Excited for that, but yeah, I just thought I'd share a little bit of that hot new goss in my life, hot new excitement, breathing some life back into me here. So yeah, pretty jazzed about that.
That's exciting. That's very exciting. It's almost exciting as these NBA playoffs have been.
Woo!
I joke. They haven't been that exciting. They've been exciting to certain extents, but I think at this point we are pretty much at the matchups we expected to see at this stage in the playoffs, with the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals being set, with the Celtics versus the Cavs starting up on Sunday afternoon, and then we have the Golden State Warriors coming up against the Houston Rockets that next Monday evening. I think both you and I and Kyle all kind of made pretty much the same. I think that I'd have to go back and check for sure, but I think if we looked at our predictions for this time of year, those four teams are pretty much our picks for that time of the year. Is that not correct?
I think I had 76ers over Raptors, because I don't believe in the Raptors being a thing. But that was also way before the playoffs were set, before we knew that was a possibility. But anywho, I think that
Sixers over the Raptors where?
In the conference finals. Well, I'm saying like that. Well, they aren't there. I'm saying that's what I.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're seeing the 76ers in the.
I thought you guys both had Raptors over Celtics. I guess I don't
know. Yes. You are correct. I was heavy on the Raptors. And honestly, I'll open up to it. I mean, prior to, I think it was last week, we were kind of going back and forth on potentially doing a pod on the NBA playoffs and figuring out when we wanted to go about ahead doing it. We thought after round one would be good, and had we done that, you would have heard me come in and be foolish and speak about how the Raptors were going to take that series against the Cavs. I am so glad we did not, because I would have been more wrong than ever. I mean, I'll tell you about it now, but I just watching that series, after game one, I knew it was done. There was no chance for the Raptors to win that series. They just don't have the closers that they need. I was wrong at the halfway through part of the season. I was even wrong in the middle of the playoffs about it. I should never doubt LeBron in that way.
That's the appropriate one. Can't doubt LeBron. So, Kyle here, what do you got? We're two rounds in here. How you feel about the playoffs so far going forward? Are you more excited for what you've seen so far? Or what's still to come? It should be a pretty easy answer to imagine, but take your pick there.
Very excited, but honestly, man, we always talk about the NCAA, you know, going against chalk or being chalk. NBA Finals. If you had Cavaliers Warriors, guess what? You still feel very good about that.
Yes.
And it's just crazy after all the crazy turmoil between, I mean, both the Cavs and Golden State this season, to see both be the favorites in the conference finals and potentially matching up again. I mean, a lot of people – well, Vegas looks smart. I'll just say that.
I'm definitely excited about that too. I mean, it's just, you know, shows that there's pretty good conventional wisdom in picking the team with the most all-stars and pretty – I think they're the best team in basketball. And then also the other side, picking the best player – to probably ever play the game is a pretty good two pretty good places to hang your hat to pick some teams to advance in the playoffs. Pretty good reasons.
Well, yeah, I mean, even and LeBron, no doubt, is probably the greatest to play the game. I mean, he's obviously the best player in the world right now, and I'm pretty close to just being like, you know what? I think it's it. I mean, you could cherry pick stats all day on either Michael or him, and go either way, but. The dude's an unbelievable freak, and after the in the middle of the Pacers series, you know, the way that was spinning, you know, obviously he went through a Herculean effort, and then all of a sudden Tristan Thompson was awoke, and things turned around for them. Kyle Korver too, but I thought they were done, and that's why going into that Raptors series, I was like, okay, Raptors could do this. The Cavs don't look that good, outside of that game seven, kind of like where they really started turning it on. And then this next series for them was just a complete overhaul. They just look like a completely new team, I guess.
Well, that's what you get when you don't want LeBron's have to go against born ready Lance Stevenson. You get a lot more, you get a lot more freedom on the court where he's not getting D'd up by the best of the second best in the game. But yeah, no, I mean, LeBron's just truly incredible. And now they got that fun side piece, like that weird two-man game with Korver and Love that I think is a real weird effect.
I mean, the thing is about playing with LeBron, you oftentimes get caught standing around. I think it's kind of like Houston, but without the shooters around it, where you're just going to watch and let him go to work and, hey, maybe he kicks it to you. You know, you guys just got to be ready to shoot. But the Korver Love renaissance that you guys are talking about just is a lot of off-the-ball movement that you just weren't seeing in the Pacers series and, frankly, most of the regular season. Some people try to convince me that Ty Lue was just holding that back for the perfect moment. I think that'd be a fool's errand, but it's nice that the Cavs woke up and, you know, are going to make a kind of interesting run here.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a matter. I kind of go back and forth. I'm like, is it a matter of Ty Lue being making the right calls, or is it all LeBron? I don't know. I mean, I feel like Ty Lue has to get some credit for kind of playing Love in the role that he's being played in.
I mean, I guess. I think it's maybe some. It's like a 90-10 maybe. I mean, LeBron's just playing out of his mind. He's like an unstoppable force every game, game in, game out. I think it's going to be especially fun to see, because in the East we got, you know, a fun matchup of the best player in the game and then probably the best coach in the game, which is, you know, if you're trying to counteract the best player in the game and it's, you know, someone as good as LeBron and such a generational, you know, all-time great, that, you know, there isn't going to be another player on your team that can check him just with his own effort. And, you know, they have a coach that can maybe scheme to stop him, is you'd almost rather have than try to say, I want the next best behind LeBron. You probably would rather have someone that can, you know, try to scheme the entire team to slow him down as a, you know, make it more of a team game than just trying to go against LeBron one-on-one, because that dog don't hunt. That's going to be something that's not going to work for you.
Yeah, but the problem is you got to have someone. And, I mean, the Celtics very well may be able to put it together where they can maybe catch some games late. I think all three of us would say the Cavs are coming out of this one pretty easily, at least in my opinion. But they don't. You could have a coach all you want, but you got to have someone on the court who's going to be able to close that game. And I mean, you saw that kind of with the Raptors, where they just don't have they had a great team, and you see it in the regular season, but they don't have a closer. Like DeMar DeRozan isn't closing that game. However, if on the flip side, you know, we'll talk about it eventually, but you look over across the way, I mean, KD hit that shot against LeBron in the finals, right? We know that they can close, and that's the difference maker between them. And the Celtics, I mean, maybe Jason Tatum starts to see that blossom and that kind of player really go. I mean, the dude's unbelievably savvy for a rookie. But I don't see that player to like really go toe to toe with him at the end of the crunch time in the fourth quarter. You know what I mean?
I don't either, but a fun take I've heard in the corners of the interwebs is that player could be Gordon Hayward, suiting back up now. They said they were shut him down, thought, you know, Kyrie was down, no chance. His original timeline had him coming back around the start of the playoffs, potentially. It's not entirely impossible, while still not at all probable. Gordon Hayward coming out of that tunnel, and maybe you give him a little spark. I mean, yeah, he hasn't played all season, probably a ton rusty and in zero shape, but if it happens, you heard it here first if you aren't online ever.
Record scratch, breaking news. Matt's out of his mind. That will certainly not happen.
Could you imagine that?
That would be absolutely ludicrous. That sounds like the plot of Space Jam 2, so I give him credit. Matt's a hell of a screenwriter.
Yeah, that's like what's-his-name coming out of the tunnel at the end of Space Jam 1.
Bill Murray.
Yeah, Bill Murray.
Gordon Hayward to Bill Murray.
Same physique, same playing style, yes.
Yeah, they look alike. I think it's a white thing.
They're both white.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And, you but, know, and Bill Murray says he doesn't play defense. Is Gordon Hayward a defensive mastermind?
Yeah, I wouldn't say mastermind.
Not as calling card.
No.
Right?
But going back to the Stevens thing versus LeBron, I mean, coaches, they have a couple moves they can do, but they're only good for about a game. So LeBron will figure it out. I mean, maybe you catch him a game with something he hadn't seen coming. But frankly, I can't imagine Stevens has four games worth of tricks up his sleeve. I mean, talent has always, you know, won out in the NBA. And that's going to continue being the case, especially with – since, I don't know, the Cavs apparently sang Kumbaya, got over their bullshit, and they're ready to play. So, I mean, I know everyone's been counting the Celtics out the whole playoffs, but, yeah, time's just about run out in the Cinderella run.
Yeah, no, I mean, I got to agree with that. Well, perhaps, you know, the worst way to set up a take saying, well, I don't think it's true, but I will say I think that if the Celtics are to win, their matchup is Brad Stevens on LeBron more than anything they have talent-wise. And I do, while I think that is fun to talk about or think about, I don't think that's going to happen. I just got the talent's going to win out. I have not going to pick against LeBron until he retires is a new rule I have. I might pick against him in the finals when we get there. But
I'm not going to pick against him until the next round is what you're saying.
I'll say it quietly. Like, I'm not going to say he has no chance. I'll never say he has no chance, and I'm never going to bet against him. I'll pick against him and won't bet against him. How's that? That's a good rule.
That's a good way to go away, I guess. You won't put money against the man.
Yeah. So, the well, I think most people are real excited to match to see the best two, I think the best two records. But
They definitely were.
And the best two pretty hands-down teams in the game. Rockets Warriors is hopefully, I think, gonna go seven, be a heck of a matchup in just a lot of skill, a lot of modern space and pace basketball, a lot of just high talent, high energy players with really good coaches too that help, you know, they coaches that add value to players that don't need much added to them, and that's how you see a lot of truly great basketball. I think it's gonna be something really exciting to see. You know, at least four, hopefully seven games of that just fire on fire matchup.
Oh, basically the Western Conference Finals are the NBA Finals. Let's get real. I mean, yeah, that's what it's going to come down to. But the interesting thing is, it's like a very big moment for both Chris Paul and James Harden to kind of just see what they're actually made of. I mean, they're two future Hall of Famers. I mean, granted, Golden State might have four on their team, but those two guys are no slouches typically, but they definitely have had their playoff woes. I mean, this is Chris Paul's first time past the second round. James Harden, if Josh Smith and Corey Brewer don't hit a zillion threes against the Clippers a couple of years ago, he wouldn't have been there either. So it's kind of interesting to see what they'll bring to the table. Obviously, the Rockets have a bunch of gadget players they brought in to kind of counteract what Golden State does. I'm thinking of like a PJ Tucker. They always had Ariza, but Luke Mbamute. In which, honestly, the value he's brought has been incredible as a kind of like a switchy four.
Yeah.
He can guard the three, he can guard the five.
Yeah.
Like, that's been huge. I mean, they used to start Ryan Anderson at four.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, he can sink it. But, honestly, you put him in any pick and roll, it's done. It's over. The other team's
scoring. Especially versus the Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
Most teams is trouble versus the Warriors. That's three.
It's death.
So, yeah, that's and another thing, that a guy that didn't bring or sign on, but the continued evolution of Clint Capella cannot be understated, I think. He's someone I've really liked as a high-energy guy. He's someone that's just – you know, he's like a Steven Adams kind of guy, just buys into his role, goes, okay, I know what I do best, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do it in the best way I can to help our best player. Like, I'm not trying to – he's at his best when he's helping someone else be their best, which is something, you know, I really appreciate and admire looking at him. He's just a pure rim runner, defender, increasingly good shot blocker and defender, plus rebounder. He just does exactly that hole they had when you were – you know, when it was Dwight Howard for sure slowing the game down, or when they had Nene would have been their next option up, just kind of a hole in the middle. He's a plus solid, strong center. I think that's unless Draymond's starting there, a clear advantage Rockets have in the middle of the court there, in the top of the front court, advantage clearly position-wise over the Warriors.
And I don't mean to box you out, Ryan, but yeah, I want to talk further on Capella. I mean, he definitely outplayed Gobert in the last series.
Mm-hmm.
And he's honestly their most important player, because when the Warriors bring out that lineup of death, you got Draymond at 5, Durant at 4. I mean, Capella is a type of big man that if you put him in the pick and roll, he's not going to get embarrassed. He mm-hmm. might not just, you know, stifle Steph Curry, but he's not going to get shook. And that's huge if he doesn't have to come off the floor in those clutch moments.
So who do you guys think is coming out of the series? Like, what's your feel on it?
I have had all year, and not going to, you know, change canoes midstream here. I got to go Warriors. Like I said, you got 4 probably future Hall of Famers. Just so much talent. The biggest worry I would say would be, a la 2 years ago, is Steph Curry really healthy? Back from that MCL again, where he is this series. He got exploited last time by Kyrie, who's that series in the past, which was a phenomenal player, but as much as I don't like him, as an offensive talent, James Harden is a step above still, I'd say. And if he probably won't be the guy on him, you're going to put Clay on him, but then he's, you know, Chris Paul, that's no slouch either. If they get him in trouble and his knee's not all the way back and he gets, you know, more tired of that having to guard and can't really do it on offense, if, you know, you take away, when you lose one of your best players with former MVP, it's hard to continue playing, especially versus a team as good as the Rockets. I still will take the Warriors, though. I think they got so much firepower. We talk about stuff like people forget about them, and I do too, to an extent. Like, no one really fair. Like, there's still no matchup for Durant in the league. LeBron's a little older, lost stuff. He's the only, like, chance, I think. Who's guarding Durant? It's no one. So then you got to load up on him, and now Clay, and now Steph Curry, who's just a spot-up shooter, is still going to kill it. That's a long way of saying what everyone knows about them. Nothing new there, but I'm going to go Warriors.
I have the Warriors in 6. Obviously, the Rockets earned home court advantage, but I think that at some point the Warriors will beat the Rockets at home and then finish it out at home in the 6th game. Like Matt said, barring a Steph Curry injury, that could definitely kind of derail things. Especially the way James Harden is able to just break ankles.
Uh-huh.
Steph's got pretty bad ankles. And put James Harden in the spin cycle, he's gonna trash some people. But
I think he'll be over on. I think he'll be over on, like, if Eric Gordonson or Trevor Ariza probably to try to hide.
Yeah,
him,
so. You're not gonna obviously.
He's not. I can't be. They're not gonna match up. Can't be on CP3 or Harden.
But it's a funny thing to think about.
It is. Well, you pull him into switches, but I'm sorry to cut off. Like, it's, you gotta try to hide him. I think that's why Kerr's a good coach. But so then Tony, you know, they do good getting these matchups. But
also, if James Harden tries to pull some shit, like he likes to try to embarrass you, he'll throw you off to the side once he crosses you over.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond Green's not gonna take that shit, especially if you're, you know, messing with one of his teammates. So I can see, you know, nice little clothesline. I know Draymond's up against it on the technical side, mm-hmm. but the Rockets aren't gonna, you know, they're not gonna scare the Warriors.
Ooh, like that.
I think you guys hit the nail on the head about the whole Steph Curry vulnerability thing. It's gonna be a question of, obviously they're not gonna put him on Harden, but what scheme wise the Rockets do to try and get Harden against Steph. Like, they're that's gonna be part of their game plan. They're gonna try and attack him. How well can the Warriors hide him from them?
I think you're not even hiding. We're talking just defensively, that's one match too. Like, it's offensively too. If that knee's not right and he, you know, can't really go and you have to put in,
dude,
you know,
the dude hit that what was that? He walked up the 3/4 court, popped that 3, drained it. I mean, he's gonna be fine from shooting. He's gonna be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, the finals versus the Cavs is what it was. He wasn't getting done on the offensive, but he couldn't shake Kevin Love.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. It's different. I'm saying that's what I'm seeing. Like, if he's not effective, and you're a man down, because I think the Rockets are much deeper than the Warriors because they have a lot of two breakdown ISO / pick and roll guards, and then a perfectly outfitted plethora of low salary spot up shooter 3-and-D guys. that they can just roll out over and over and over again at you, which the Warriors have like a weird hodgepodge kind of thing like on their second line. It doesn't fit the same. Like the Rockets have fully interchangeable pieces besides the top two. The Warriors like got to play a little different with a lot of the guys they'll bring. Like David West isn't bringing you what Draymond Green's bringing you, and Shad Livingston hasn't shot a three since like the Inquisition. So that's a different look.
Swaggy P is no Klay Thompson.
Yeah, that's also true. He's no slouch. Yeah, there's just a lot of the Warriors have a higher high and a lower low, and if the Rockets can hold steady through the middle, which is hard to do with all those three pointers, you're either gonna have a few blowouts and just get blown out a few. They played pretty good. I'm over talking the points that everyone always knows and says. I'm gonna go Warriors.
But I like how you talk about the Rockets and their plethora of this low salary three and D mm-hmm. guys. Turns out Daryl Morey good at his job.
Very good at his job. Wow. Those numbers guys apparently aren't dummies.
Yeah.
People say Billy Beane did a fantastic job. But you know who did win? The Cubs. Theo Epstein did the same shit.
Guess what?
It works.
Shout out to David Fitzdale.
Yeah.
Take that for data.
Take that for data. Welcome to the Knicks. Congrats, David. If you're listening, congrats. Yeah. Hope you do well.
I really hope this is like the one NBA podcast that he listened to. He's like, oh, I heard they're doing NBA this week.
We're he's gonna I'm shot him. He talked about where they're gonna play Porzingis the 4 or 5. He goes, hey, positionless basketball. I'm like, well, Dolan's not gonna let him say that again. But he said it one time. Love the NBA. Anyway, yeah, no. That'll be good. I think we're all kind of seeing a Warrior. Oh, sorry, Ryan. Are you Warriors too? Did you say?
I am Warriors. I'm Warriors. I agree with Kyle. I think they're going to take it in six. I think almost they kind of have to take it in six. I don't like the fact that they have to go back to Houston for that game seven. I think they got to win that game away early. But I think the biggest X factor for me in this series is Draymond. I think he's going to be the game changer. And honestly, I think it goes not only this series but even into the finals. I think he's playing at a very good level right now, offensively, defensively. I mean, he's stuffing the stat sheets, and he just brings an energy to the court that you need, especially in this type of game. Like, you know, you made the comment about, you know, Harden being kind of a bit of a bitch on the crossovers. You know, like you said, Draymond's not going to mess around with that. And he's going to get in people's faces. Like, you want that kind of guy on the floor. And it's not just that he's that kind of just that prototypical, almost like hockey enforcer that goes out for the big check but does not do anything else. He does that and plays the game well. So I think he's going to be the thing. And then I think the thing to think about is the fact that I can't remember the exact – I think it's either 23-4 or 24-3. That's the record of the Warriors since Kevin Durant's joined the team. And you made a comment about Kevin Durant being in the playoffs. I'm sorry. You made a comment about him being kind of like undervalued almost. I think it's true. I mean, people forget about him out there. But, I mean, he's also playing at a great level. And he's hitting a lot of those great mid-range shots as well. That kind of bread and butter for him. So, I mean, obviously the three reigns king right now in the NBA, but I think you can't shortchange that mid-range jumper as well, especially when the Warriors kind of switch from their three deadly lineup to that kind of David West lineup where they go to the more, high post pick-and-roll style
stuff.
Play.
Yeah. A lot more let one guy cook kind of stuff, which is, you know, a luxury they have having three – you know, pure offense guys that can just get you a bucket any way they want. Well, Clay can get it off of any screen he wants. Dribbling he kind of hates, but all the same.
Yeah, and Kevin Durant, I mean, he's clearly the second best player in the league, but you're going to criminally underrate yourself when you go to the best team in the league that already has a top five player, has two other top 20, top 15 type players. Uh-huh. I mean, That's why you don't think about him when you're in those conversations. Because, I mean, look at Harden. I mean, yeah, he's playing with Chris Paul, but like he's able to put up the stats.
It's all about
he's got all the highlights. It's usage. Definitely.
It's usage. It's when you're expected to win and you're winning, no one's excited you're winning.
But
and
you like know when who you're the most efficient player in the league is, it's Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that's what you want, efficiency. Because then with other people, he can shoulder more of the load than he has to. You want to have slack in the rope here in the playoffs. You don't want to have everyone straining at their max and one cord snaps and now you're tipping over and you're falling and you're dying.
The Thunder.
The Thunder, yeah. You know, they were playing at their max, and you want to say, oh, we're playing our best basketball. But like, you slip it all, and you're dead. I mean, the Warriors have more ceiling to climb. Not the Rockets don't, too. Or, you know, they're both playing high. But like, when you're, you know, when you're playing outside yourself, that's the true Cinderella. That's, you know, when you're UMBC and you win a couple games in the tournament. But like, you're not actually that good. Like, you're
you don't
playing
want to just win a couple games, though. That's the thing. Like, you could be the guy, like Kyrie wanted to leave the Cavs and go be the guy. Like, there's only really one guy in the league that can do that, and his name's LeBron James. Outside of that, and I this is why I kind of like, you know, I go back and forth on the whole like Durant thing leaving. I really have no problem with it. Really, kind of have never had a problem with it. And honestly, I think he's a better basketball player for doing it. His game, I think, is better now than ever before. And it's almost strictly because you get surrounded by that talent, and your game gets elevated to another level because of it. You look at Harden now playing with Chris Paul. He's having a phenomenal – I mean, obviously he had a great season last year too. But, I mean, he's playing at also another level. He's got another talented guard to play alongside, and you can't do it alone. You know, I guess with the caveat being, yeah, maybe your name's not LeBron James. But even him, I mean, he's had what – Kyrie Irving's been on his championships teams. He averaged, what, like 28 points per game in the playoffs. So these aren't slouches that they're playing with either. Like, you don't do it alone. And that's why I really don't have anything wrong with Kevin Durant leaving the Thunder. I think he saw the writing on the wall. I don't think Russell Westbrook will ever win a championship. I think he's going to go down as a Charles Barkley-type player who just is never going to get it. Carmelo Anthony-style type thing. Fantastic regular season, fantastic basketball player, but he's just never going to put it all the way together. I just don't see it.
I think that's a separate discussion. I think that's a different thing. I think Carmelo and I think they just play. That's a discussion for another day. I'm done. That's a tangential issue.
The selfish podcast.
Yeah, well, I don't think
podcast.
Russell Westbrook's that selfish. I think he just ran up against two formidable of teams. And that's different. So, I mean, they're kind of the same there. We can do a quick finals preview. I think we think the finals is going to be kind of a, you know, a perfunctory performance of just whoever comes out of the West, us all thinking it Warriors over Cavs, Celtics, whoever you bring in the gym. I think the West has got that pretty four-game sweepy.
Basically, Draymond would have to get suspended, and Steph would have to get hurt.
Yeah, I think Draymond would have to get suspended for murdering Steph on the court with Klay Thompson, who is then suspended for being a murderer.
Klay Thompson would be very Klay Thompson and just be like, we had a game last night?
Just miss it.
Just miss it.
Had the wrong day. Felt a day late every time.
Shoot. Not again.
Sorry, guys.
I don't see a sweep. I'm gonna give
LeBron
the Cavs
James is never gonna get swept.
I'm gonna give the Cavs a lot more respect than that. I honestly, I could see LeBron taking it six or seven. I just because of the way. I mean, I want to say it'll end in five, but at the end of the day, like, there's part of me. It's just like I can't say no to him. He's right now. He's playing almost at this insane level, and he's elevating the rest of that team around him. If Tristan Thompson can you continue playing and giving solid defense and game off the glass, I mean, and then you got the combination of Kyle Korver and Kevin Love. If they continue down the same path, I think they're gonna shock some people with the ability. I mean, and the fact
listen
that LeBron
the
James
you're
will
saying
shock
they
anyone.
Have to depend on.
Huh?
You said Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, and Kyle Korver are the names you're depending on to bail out LeBron James. Versus Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Draymond
Green.
Well,
it's not that they have to. It's not
and the highest defensive efficiency guy in the playoffs so far, Zaza Pachulia.
It's not that I'm saying they have to bail him out. I'm saying they have to be good enough to the point where they aren't a hindrance like they were in the beginning of that Pacers series.
I'll give 4.5 games out of Curry to LeBron, but
what if there's a J.R. Smith game?
A J.R. Smith game? See, that's the thing. They got some players that aren't good anymore, but like, what if they were, guys? And fine, I guess five because of the randomness of sport. But like, it's the Warriors, and they're not super concerned about it.
LeBron's gonna will at least two wins out of that series. He's gonna literally just put it on his back.
For so much.
I love that. Our you know, Lord and Savior, LeBron James.
It shall be done. Yeah,
but then he'll be murdered for his sins. He'll be crucified.
I will say, though, that LeBron James game-winner runner against the Raptors in the corner off the glass, that was probably one of – I think I could make that shot. I'm not going to lie. It was easy. It looked easy to me. It was a runner off the glass.
Yeah.
Bank shot. I mean, I feel like I've done that shot in the gym 1,000 times.
Yeah, it's fine play, but that's a two-shot coming on the court regulation with normal time. It's just an easy. It's in the bag of tricks.
Yes, exactly. We could probably yell at each other a little bit more, but I guess we shouldn't.
Are the finals wrapped? Are we doing a NBA draft podcast? Should people look forward to that?
We can look forward to a draft podcast. I could be dealt back into that hand. You can draw me to the table with it.
I like how it's usually what, like at the end of what day is the draft?
End of June. Wednesday or Thursday at the end of June.
Yeah, I like how close it is right to the end of the season.
Yeah, well, they don't want to get both the game gets stale. They only got a couple months off.
They really do. The NBA season really is just like it really does feel all year round.
Between free agency, the draft,
yeah,
the game's a year round sport.
The game don't sleep.
Honestly, the fact that baseball is double the game's regular season, I honestly feel like the NBA season is longer.
I would argue that it feels like the MLB season might be the shortest.
MLB,
conversation. Maybe, obviously not in games, but conversation-wise,
yeah.
Once it's over and you don't think about it again until spring training.
Yeah, that's true. Because
the draft happens in June. It's not the same type of draft. It's college guys. It's not thinking about it like the way NBA or the NFL is. You don't have like NBA summer league like the NBA does, where like you're talking about the NBA and the crazy free agency. I mean, you do have it every once in a while in December, but it's not the same to me. I feel like the NBA just drags on. Literally, it's almost like a 365 sport.
Yeah,
it's almost like they just have a better commissioner.
They have one hell of a commissioner. Well, thanks for stopping by again, Kyle. Hopefully have you back again soon for some basketball, some something. Bring you back into the fold here.
Oh, we appreciate that, as always.
Oh, we will. We will. We will. I think we'll check back in probably maybe at the end of the finals, towards the end. We'll see. We'll see what the deal is. We'll see. Maybe we'll be just completely wrong. We'll have to come in and
have an apology pod.
Yeah, an apology pod about the Warriors getting swept, and all of a sudden the Cavs sweeping the Rockets or something like that.
Yeah, Celtics over Rockets in the finals. We got to just come in and just beg for mercy.
Yeah, Tatum averages 40 points per game or something.
Brad Stevens suits up and puts up 10 and 10 from the post.
Oof. I could see it. I could see it right now in lights. I would hate that though, because I hate Boston. But we will catch you guys coming up. Hopefully sometime in the next week or two. With that, catch you later.
Two fingers.